Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Today is Tuesday, March 16th, 7:04 p.m. This is a regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Please all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ed Eswan.
Here.
Steve Jalowick.
Here.
Dave Kupchansky.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
Here.
Albert Miskowitz.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick.
Here.
Gino DiGirani.
Here.
Michael Fratterola.
Here.
And Dan Blisman.
Here.
He'll be joining us shortly. He got caught up at work.
Okay, I'm here. Michael, thank you. If you can hear me, I'm here.
Okay, I can hear him.
I'm here. Okay.
Cool. Okay. And for the record, Attorney John Marini's here with us this evening instead of Barbara Schellenberger, right?
Yes, John? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. I do not have any this evening. Communications. I do not have any this evening. The public portion, we'll move on. Is there anybody from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? State your name for the record. Anybody from the, yes.
Tom Line, 79 Sunset Drive, Derby.
Yes, Tom.
Yes, I have a question. Should I speak now or about Dewdrop, or should I wait until you have, until you open it up to talk?
Considering that that's a public hearing, I would reserve right to comment during the public hearing. So this way it'll be made a matter of record, Tom.
Okay, then I'll do it then. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Tell me all about it. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public? Okay, we'll move on to approval of minutes of the 2/16/2021 regular meeting. I move that we table that because the minutes are not ready yet. So there's nothing for us to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Receipt of applications. There are no new applications. So we'll move on to number 9A, public hearing, North Block Holdings LLC and Dewdrop Inn, 2325 North Avenue and North Avenue special exception application for the addition to the existing building for a bathroom and storage related to Dewdrop Inn business, a covered raised outdoor patio and an open ground level patio for Dewdrop Inn patrons. Is there somebody from the commission who would like to address the commission at this time?
Attorney Dominic Thomas representing the applicant. Present with me also today is Joseph Mingolello, the architect on the project, and the property owner, representing the property owner is Jay Carlucci. The first thing I would like to do, I noted on the website, by the way, that the notices, the abutting landowners, and the radius map, which I submitted on March 9th, were not posted on the website when you clicked on the meeting agenda, but I just wanted to report that they were filed. The certificate of mailing with all the notices was filed along with those, and they were emailed, and I received an acknowledgement of the email on the 9th. At that point, the certificate of mailings was done, the radius maps, the list of abutters and all property owners within 150 feet, and also an exhibit for the hearing, which was Google Street photos of the site in a package. So I'm not sure why they didn't make it on to the website. The second thing I want to say is, having had some discussions with my client, he is seriously considering at this point commencing, if there is an approval, commencing work in the fall because of the some issues that have come up and things that need to be resolved. And as you will hear, more than likely the public hearing is going to have to be kept open possibly, and therefore he may not do it. So we just want to make sure that, you know, that it's thorough, and I wanted to explain that to the commission, because of the site work and other work would interfere with the summer season, which for restaurants, believe me, they need this summer season coming up after what they've been through. So what I'd like to do, and I will explain to the commission that we received the approval for the variance for the front setback to 5 feet by the Derby Zoning Board of Appeals at their meeting last week. So that issue has been resolved with respect to the front setback. Can I share screen?
Absolutely.
Okay, so can you see what's on the screen?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with what is the cropped site plan so people can get an idea from the site plan perspective. This was the same site plan that was presented, the same, it is part of the site plan, which you'll see the full site plan, but it's blown up because so that you can get an idea of exactly what is being proposed. What is being proposed is an addition to the building in this area here that involves a bathroom, liquor storage, and dry storage. In addition to that, the proposal involves a covered patio in this area here, and then an open patio with tables here, as you'll see later on. There's our 5 feet from the property line. It did highlight, so you can understand the edge of the ledge. And here you see that there's a chain link fence, and the goal is to work within that chain link fence. The existing building is 2 point, as I pointed out to you at the meeting, I believe in January, it's 2.8 feet. The full site plan, so you can get a picture of it, of where it's the work is taking place, is down in this vicinity where the obviously adjacent to the existing do drop in, and it, you know, way at the, whatever you call the south end, I guess you would say, of the property as opposed to the north. Now, the proposal that he's made includes a walkway. We'll have to address that when we address the comments from Ryan McAvoy that we went over today. We got him this past weekend, and we had a call with Ryan today. There was this proposal for a sidewalk and a crosswalk to go to the parking. The parking up here can accommodate upwards of 70 to 75 cars, depending on the striping. It was used, as we all know, for Hull Dye and for Derby Cellular. And that was the proposal. The individuals who normally walk down this sidewalk and crossed over would now be, our proposal was, would now be able to go down this sidewalk and go in and then go down the ramp if they weren't going to, if they were going to eat inside. So that was the proposal. What would it look like? What it would look like is here would be the stairs that go up, I believe, to the second floor. I'm not sure. And Joe Mingalala was here to talk about that. Here's the rooms, the open storage, liquor storage, dry storage. Personnel would come out this way to serve the covered patio areas, and these are the open patio areas. And I'll leave it up to Joe to go into a little more detail and explain it. And so you can see what the elevations look like. Again, the effort that we have is to try to, for all possible, reduce the amount of blasting that would be necessary. So you can see the side elevation, the patio section, a section of the patio, and what it would look like from the street. So the intent was people would walk in here. This is a 5 foot wide ramp. The ramp would come up, and the proposal was to put landscaping in front of the building to enhance that area. And you can see that a little clearer over here where the landscaping was being proposed for the building. As far as the details of it, Joe, before I get on to Ryan's report and the responses, Joe, do you have anything to explain further about how it's connected to the building? And
no, basically, that's if you go back to the plan, go back one sheet, yeah, right there, the stair that you go, that's the site plan. Go to the floor. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
That's okay. Then you can see the whole the plan. The stair, there's an existing stair now that's adjacent to the existing building. That's access to the apartments above. There's two one-bedroom apartments above. The stair to the left, okay, is the access stair to the covered patio in our addition, basically, okay? I think you did a pretty good job conceptually of basically going over the plan. The number one issue for us in terms of the design was really public safety. The access, our new sidewalk up to the Park Avenue parking lot was really important for us. And also some sort of being able to eliminate these concrete barriers that are there during the season. We wanted to eliminate that from an aesthetic standpoint and also from a protection for the public or the patrons. Okay, so those were the main issue with public safety. And we thought that, you know, the lighting's not great. Being able to walk on a sidewalk from the parking lot or from the restaurant to the parking lot at night after having a couple of drinks, we thought that, you know, that was really important as far as we were concerned. We also wanted to landscape a little bit in the front to break up and add some softness and some landscape architecture to the front. So that was also an issue. Other than that, Dominic, can you go to the front elevation a little bit? Go up a couple. Next one. One more. Okay, yeah, the front elevation, which is a North Avenue elevation, and you can see the trees, the landscaping. Basically, it's a covered roof, wood frame. We have a corrugated metal roof trying to tie in. We would tie in the architecture and the color scheme with the existing building as best we could, using clapboards for siding. And basically, the ramp or the wall in front is the protective area for the patrons. So we try to keep that, and we've made it 4 feet for both privacy and protection along that. So those were the major issues in terms of the design. Okay. I don't know if any. Go ahead.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Joe before I go on with? All right, so I do want to point out for reference that you can see that this does not occupy the entire, you know, comes out to the parking area, but the parking area actually extends a little farther out. So in order to give a little bit more perspective, in order to give a little bit more perspective, hold on, I'll get back to it. Okay, whoop. Dominic, you hit the wrong button. I'm trying to get back onto my Zoom and I don't know what is. Just one second. I obviously clicked the wrong button. That is interesting. I wish I had my 7-year-old granddaughter here with me to explain to me why I have suddenly lost the suddenly lost the Zoom picture. I'm assuming you guys can see me or whatever.
Yep.
All right, let me try one other thing here. Okay, so I may have to come back, go out and back in, because for some reason it won't let me get back to the full screen that I had open.
You might want to jump out and come back in, Dom.
Yeah, I think.
In the meantime, I have a couple of letters that I want to read in for the record. One of them, I'll take this time, is from the Fire Marshal. Office of the Fire Marshal.
Go ahead and read them.
Do drop in, covered patio, 2325 North Avenue, dear Mr. Estwan. This letter is in regards to the plans this office received from North Block Holdings, LLC, and do drop in for the proposed covered patio. Upon reviewing these plans, this office sees no problems pertaining to fire department accessibility or fire protection with this project. When more detailed plans are submitted, a review of fire code compliance will take place. Phil Hawks. And then I understand that you folks received your variance the other evening, and the ZBA asked for comments from Public Works and the Police Department. I did ask for both of them to comment on the approval, and I received one back from the Police Department. Renovations to the do drop in, dear Mr. Estwan, in response to the request for comment from the Zoning Board of Appeals regarding the proposed renovations to the do drop in, the Derby Police Department has no issues with said renovations. However, this should not be construed as a statement on behalf of the LTA. The LTA will reserve comment on the proposed sidewalk as it pertains to the relocation of the curb line, crosswalk improvements, parking, and required signage pending a formal application and review process. Should you have any additional questions or concerns, do not hesitate to contact me. Respectfully, Scott Todd. So I wanted to read that in as a record. I did not receive anything from Public Works. So go ahead, Tom.
Anyway, now that I'm back and was able to relocate, this is one of the exhibits that was submitted in with the notices. And these are Google Street View photographs. And there's three of them showing the existing building, showing the area, the area immediately adjacent to it, and the slope behind it, and showing the area going up towards to where the parking lot ends. So, and the reason I wanted to present these is to show you that in this area, again, is where there's going to be the deepest excavation. But, and one of the reasons why this was redesigned to consolidate it the way it is because there is some sloping back in here. So there was somewhat of a reduction of the cut that we were doing. The area, and I'm gonna sort of leave this up because it impacts something we're talking about with respect to the report, you know, Ryan's report, which I'm assuming you all have. From SR. And in Ryan's report, in paragraph one of his comments, he reflects the variance. In paragraph two, he's indicating that he would like an A2 property survey standards. This site plan was based on an A2 survey that was done by a company that apparently no longer is in business back about 10 or more years ago, when the applicant at that point, Jake, got a variance related to the other side, but he never followed through on that. In paragraph three, with respect to paragraph three, which refers to the having the zoning compliant standards and everything put on there, when we do the site plan with the topo, we will have put on there all the setbacks, the required setbacks from the rear and from the sides. Obviously, you can see there's no issue for compliance, but those numbers will be on it, and lot coverage, building height, parking standards will all be on the property. There are, as mentioned to you, there are two one-bedroom apartments on the second floor that are not rented. They're apparently, at the present time, Mr. Carlucci hasn't rented them. According to the parking standards in your MDD zone, 2.5 spaces are required. To the right of the building are four spaces. So it's our intention, and we will show that on the site plan. Three of those spaces will be dedicated solely for the apartments. And as mentioned in the next one, we will also put one ADA, one handicap space next to that. We discussed today with Mr. Mingolello and Ryan, we discussed putting two or three handicap spaces on the upper area. And the next thing is, since it's, and I don't think I have some issues with recording things on the land records, but since your section requires it, we will discuss with your Planning and Zoning Council the appropriate document and how it gets released in the appropriate time that will ensure that as long as the there's an operational restaurant down there that requires parking in the lot, that will be tied to the restaurant. It was my position that all you need to do is make it a condition, but I'm sure we can come up with something to record on the land records that will be appropriately releasable if the restaurant were to go away. The next thing includes, the site plan includes existing and proposed contours. And this, I think, relates to the sidewalk, the proposed sidewalk and the, whatever you want to call them, ramps, that when somebody is leaving the sidewalk and going into the road. And this, at this point, I will say, and I will bring it up at this point, that my client, after the discussions, after reviewing the report and having discussions, we are not sure whether we're going to do the sidewalk. Right at the present time, the people who park in the upper lot, some of them walk down the road and some of them walk down the sidewalk that is on the other side of the street. The suggestions in the report would, from the engineering report, would require, and I'll switch over to here, that this sidewalk be extended. You can see that the sidewalk here now be extended outside. So what that means is this sidewalk, instead of going in here, this is at grade at this end because the parking lot goes uphill. So this is at grade. So the people coming down, the patrons coming down would use the sidewalk, walk onto the ramp, go down the ramp, and if they wanted to go into the existing restaurant, and this was going to be landscaping. Ryan's point is because this is a public sidewalk, they shouldn't go on private property. For those people that are just walking on the sidewalk. Now, the sidewalk has to be in the right of way because it would be cost prohibitive to blast out more rock just to put the sidewalk on private property. So that was done. So what he has to absorb, we're thinking about is now if we have to extend the sidewalk, take out the landscaping, extend the sidewalk down to here. I understand moving the catch basin isn't that big of an issue, but it's still an expense. And then at that point, it would connect up with this sidewalk. You can see the catch basin here. And then the suggestion is that we have a crosswalk over to the other side, meaning in this location here, so we'd have a sidewalk coming down here, you have a sidewalk coming down, and then the suggestion is we would then incorporate a sidewalk to go from public sidewalk to public sidewalk, again, because the intention being the public is going to be using this, not just patrons, but the public. And that, as Ryan mentioned appropriately, could very well, what we had to do there could very well result in having to go to District 3 for an encroachment permit. We're not sure yet because it would have to be designed. And of course, all of them would have to have the accessible ramps. So what my client is considering at this point is simply not doing this sidewalk, putting the accessible ramps at the end of this sidewalk and doing the crossing down here and telling the people, fine, just keep going the way you're going down there. But again, we just had the conversation today. I've just been going back and forth with him and we haven't really looked at it. My position is, and I understand the position that the sidewalk is going to be in the public right of way. Right now, people that are walking down there, if they were walking and not going to do drop, just walking to walk down to, and I guess there's a crosswalk here, and then eventually connect up with a walkway that goes actually all the way to downtown. I think they would normally use that. I would tend to doubt that people would be using that side. But it is, again, it needs to be absorbed because it is substantial extra cost to do the sidewalk would probably cost more than the landscaping, and we thought the landscaping was more appropriate. But I think because of that, and also I think you read the police, the Derby police, that they have no issue with the setback, but they would want to take a look at these issues. We understand and that probably this hearing is going to have to be kept open while we go over it further with staff. Because again, and I know everything was compressed, especially with the having to get the variance. So we really have only had the report to really discuss over the last couple of days. And the other two reports were available online. So, again, Joe explained it, that was the purpose of the sidewalk was what we thought was safety. And I understand it's in the public right of way, but given the fact that it went from the parking lot down and all the way down, we were designing it really for the patrons. We didn't really think it had that much public access. I do want to mention, I did forget one comment. Ryan indicated that he wanted also the commercial parking requirements. So I checked your requirements. I don't consider Dewdrop a takeout. I consider it a takeout would have much lower parking requirement. It's a sit-down restaurant. It has existing right now 50 seats inside, even though the capacity is 75. There isn't room for 75. There will be a capacity of potentially 36 on the covered patio and open patio. So that's 86, divide that by two. It's one space for every two seats. You're at 43, and we have 70, even losing the spaces next to it. We have, like I said, 70, I counted 70 spaces at a minimum, but I would have to actually get out there. We would be able to define it, but there's certainly 70 plus spaces up in the parking lot. I did want to put that for the record. That'll be on the revised site plan. So I don't know if Jay has anything to add, but at that point, I'll turn it over to the commission members for any question. If he doesn't.
Okay, Jay, if I have nothing to add, do any of the commission members have any questions for Dominic or the applicant?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Raul.
Just as far as the open patio is concerned, do you know what that's going to be as far as flooring? Because that's kind of giving off that it's a structure and it's well into your 5 foot setback.
The 5 foot setback, according to Ryan, the 5 foot, we researched that it doesn't apply to an uncovered patio in that circumstance. As far as what it's going to be on the ground, I don't know. I will defer to either Jay or to Joe. I believe it's going to be pavement or concrete, but I'm not sure.
I would think it's going to be concrete.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's pavement right now. Right now it's pavement.
Right. Right.
Raul, if I could clarify, just the regulations do allow for open patios in the front setback, provided they're not over 30 inches in height above grade. So that's one thing that I think we'll just have to verify, that we're not 36 inches above grade. But I think the intent of the MDD zone was to encourage cafe style seating along street frontages and things of that nature.
Right. I'm just trying to get ahead of, you know, future comments that I'm sure are coming from the public, because there are walls around the patio, which I understand are for privacy and for, you know, some sort of, you know, enclosure. But when you get those walls in play, it almost makes it seem like it's a structure. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, safety was a concern and was brought up previously. So, I mean, can if those walls do become another issue, could those be actually, you know, a little bit more hefty as far as, you know, providing some sort of protection from?
Well, those walls are made of concrete,
mm-hmm.
Okay, structural concrete. So in terms of protection, I don't know what else we would do.
So they could almost act as a barrier.
Absolutely.
Cars. Okay.
Purpose for it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my last question was, would any other attention be given to the upper parking lots? Because it seems like half of the parking lot is striped and paved. And I didn't know if you needed for numbers, if the other part on the other side of the barriers, if that was going to be treated or given some attention to.
Well, the entire parking lot, actually, if you really get down to it, does have lines on it, because it was also a parking lot. But yes, actually we could probably have compliance with just the area that is maintained as a parking lot right now. But the intention of the applicant is to clean up and stripe the entire parking area.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, the entire parking lot, once this all gets to play and everything works out that we're going to, you know, go through it, it will be cleaned up, straightened out, lines through across the whole thing. It'll be taken care of. As far as the walls and the patio, yeah, every wall is going to be made for protection. That even includes the back wall. I do realize that, you know, I've been there for 15 years. There's been some rocks that, you know, have trickled down that wall. So there's even the back walls will be made sturdy. So God forbid anything happens, that I don't have to worry about my customers getting whacked or anything like that. So we're thinking about all this.
And just one more, Dominic, yes. you hit on it a little bit about the existing parking. Now, where is that in relation to the extent of the addition in the patio? Is it within the patio? Is it beyond the patio?
It goes, the existing parking, hold on, let me go. I think maybe you can see it. No, it can't see it there. The existing parking goes all the way up to here. You see this line here and this here? I may be able to, can you see it bigger now?
Yes.
On the screen, okay. All right.
I believe, Dominic, it's highlighted by the bottom of ledge line.
Correct. Yeah, bottom of ledge line that comes across there.
That's the parking now.
Yeah, it goes all the way up to here of pavement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Raul. Any other comments from the commission members before I open up to the public? Any other questions from commission members?
I've got a question, okay, for Joe. And again, it concerns the at the rear of the property. When you go to your plan A2 and you look at a cross section, it seems that you have a 30-foot cut that's maybe 10% off from vertical. Where's the top of that cut in relation to the property line that you share with the cemetery?
Can you go to
right there? Yeah.
Oh, it's It's close to the existing. Basically, that line on the very top is the existing fence. So we're staying in front of the fence that's there up there, but it's not even close to the cemetery.
Yeah,
the cemetery property, the property line is way behind. See, yeah. The property line is way up on top is the property line.
Yeah, I think you can see it. Let me just see. Here's the property line, David. That's here's the fence line.
That's the fence line.
So your cut is going to go just up to the fence?
Yeah, in front of the fence. Correct. That's correct.
And what were you going to propose to stabilize that cut?
Well, I mean, we're basically going to be blasting that whole area, a line blast, I would think, all the way down. So,
yeah. But after you finish blasting and excavating, are you proposing something to prevent erosion on that cut?
Well, what we're doing is that the back walls of this addition are all concrete down at the finished floor elevation, but we're going to fill, if you look at the section, we're filling that up with gravel because we're going to have to drain it. And then all of a sudden, like Jason mentioned, that, you know, we have debris that come off the top of that slope, sometimes trees, and I don't know what else comes down there, but we're trying to protect the public and the building. So that back wall, if you go to the section,
go back to that section.
That helps.
That's a pretty tall cut.
That's not actually, we don't have that accurate elevation. Okay. Because that's what we have to do. We have to get some topography. All right. And then we will be able to modify the cut height. Okay. So basically it's a graphic representing a cut. But I don't have that proper elevation at the very top.
Yeah, and I also think that, Dave, as we go forward, obviously the client's going to have to, and through the contractor, or even through the blaster, going to have to determine from a geotech, possibly, what is needed for stabilization once they get an idea of what the cut looks like. And the cut could be stable as itself, or the cut could require further supports. But that, obviously, at this point, you can't go in and, you know, we don't want to go in and blast now because, you know, we don't have an approval.
Mr. Chairman, Gino DiGiovanni.
Sure, Gino, go ahead.
I don't know if any of the commission members have driven by there lately, but they put some silt fence up. This print, the A2 sketch there that we're looking at now, it doesn't do it any justice. I mean, it looks like it's, you know, steeper than what is actually existing right now. I drove by there yesterday and looked at it. And my statement is that until they get the topography and you could actually see elevation, what's existing there now is not as steep as it looks on this print.
That's correct. You're right.
In my opinion.
No, you're right.
Thanks, Gino.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments from any commission members? Dave, anything else?
No.
Okay, since this is a public hearing, I'll open it up to the public. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to address the commission at this time? State your name and address for the record, please. Tom.
Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive, Derby. Well, my questions have been answered. The police, I was worried about the safety, but the police said it's okay. So I am 100% for this, and I think Dewdrop does a good job, and I think that we should let him have that. And we have the Batsons down the road, and we have up here the beer gardens, and there's cramming and traffic and everything, so I see no problem here, and I wish him a lot of luck, and I hope this board
hold passes. Hold on one second, Tom. If you're not speaking, could you please mute out of courtesy to everybody else that wants to speak, please? Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, I'm 100% for it. That's all. Well, everything, okay. They did a good job. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Attorney Michael McCabe, 112 Broad Street, Milford. I'm here on behalf of Oak Cliff Cemetery. And as I stated in front of the Zoning Board of Appeals last week, our major concern is the extent of blasting that's going on that cliff. My understanding, and I've had discussions with Attorney Thomas, and I've had discussions with the fire marshal, who has jurisdiction over the blasting permits, voice our concerns and the fact that we will be monitoring the situation, on behalf of the cemetery, which is, straight up from the proposed site plan. Other than that, we have no opinion one way or the other on the merits of the site plan. Our major concern is the blasting, and if there's anything the commission needs to do in terms of special conditions on that, or insurance requirements, we would appreciate that.
Thank you, Attorney McCabe. I appreciate it. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public? Any commission members? Any further comments? Okay, Ryan?
Just real quick, Ted, we sort of waited to make our comments on this application until the ZBA rendered their opinion on the variance request. So that in part describes why we were late in our comment letter. So the majority of our comments are sort of, bookkeeping related to zoning compliance, things of that nature that I believe that they've met. I just like to see it on a plan rather than believing that it's the case. The more substantive issues, I'd say we're just providing topography so there's a better understanding of the extent of work involved, and typical requirement of a site plan application. And lastly, with regard to the sidewalk, the primary logic for my comments with regard to suggestions of the sidewalk is that what you have essentially is a sidewalk built in the public right of way that presumably could be used by the public that terminates more or less at the patio area. And if someone in the public wanted to cross the street, there's no mechanism or no safe mechanism for them to do it in front of the dewdrop. So part of the logic of my suggestions is to ultimately have a second crosswalk. We can work with the applicant on some of the specifics of how the sidewalk is constructed, but that's the essentially the reasoning behind our logic there, is that okay. You don't just force someone in the street who's using that sidewalk, who's not a customer dewdrop, to cross at a random point in the roadway.
Okay. Ryan, do you, in order to receive the notations on the drawings and to address whatever concerns that you had about possibly moving to a sidewalk, to a crosswalk instead of sidewalk, should we keep the public hearing open for that?
I would recommend that the public hearing be kept open.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Dominic, you have anything else to offer?
Just two points. Number one, and everybody as we've gone along has had issues with respect to the blasting. And the only thing I would say about that, obviously it's in the control of the fire marshal and everything like that, but there is one person in attendance at this public hearing who has the greatest concern that the blasting is done safely. And that is the applicant. Because his building is the closest building to it. And he certainly doesn't want fly rock to trash his building. So, I'm sure Mr. Carlucci has had great conversations with the blaster to indicate that he wants it protecting. So I think that that's something that should be kept in mind. Obviously, our intention is to comply doubly with any of the safety precautions, mainly for his own building. Second of all, while I understand Ryan's point, I don't think in a practical aspect the sidewalk is one that the public is going to use per se. In other words, if a member of the public were out for a walk down North Avenue, or if a member of the public were out for a walk along Park Street, if they were out for a walk along Park Street, they're going to hang a right if they were heading down that way and go down the sidewalk that's on the other side. If they were walking down Park North, that means they're in the road. And when they reach this sidewalk, if they wanted to take advantage of it, fine. If they wanted to walk down the ramp and back onto the sidewalk in front and keep going, I don't think Mr. Carlucci has any problems with it, but I don't think that possibility exists. So my position at the present time is that I don't think there's anything of a legal perspective with the sidewalk terminating at a walkway into the private property. The same way a sidewalk going down a public street could terminate because the property, the next property just doesn't have one, or for some other reason it's gotten ripped up and there's the entry to the house. So I don't see it that reason. I think we do need to sit down with staff and do need to talk about it. I believe that the landscaping is a plus, and I think that it shouldn't be taken away for that type of a reason. But that's why we keep the public hearing open. That's why you have staff. We can continue the discussion.
Okay. Thanks, Dominic. Any other comments from commission members?
Ted, I just have one.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
One point, and because I think we all want to get this settled. I think I'm going to speak a little bit out of turn, but I think everybody is pretty much in favor of this. So I just want to make sure that come next meeting, are we really going to have all the facts and all the documents so that we can make a decision and get this off, get this done, and let the owner go ahead with his work. What are we missing?
Well, one of the things that Ryan commented, a lot of things were documented today or stated that needed to be put on the plan, documented and set to go. I think we're pretty much all in favor of this application, but it really was held up by getting through ZBA, which it just happened. So Ryan's review letter came on the heels. It would have been a different review letter had they not received a variance. So now that they received it, we're kind of fast tracking, but I don't think the applicant is in any rush to get this done like most applicants are. They want to do it yesterday is because he doesn't want to lose his summer season. So he probably won't commence work until the fall. It's basically what the applicant said today. So I don't think there's a rush, but I think because there's such a concern here that we want to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed when we go forward. And the things that came up tonight are nominal, but it's worth keeping the public hearing open. And I think between staff and the applicant, we could dot the I's and cross the T's for next meeting. So we're all set. So there's nothing else to add to it. I don't see anything major here to add to it. I think everybody's questions were answered.
I wasn't meaning to try to rush it. I just want to have this continue on and on and on. Just want to make sure let's get it to closure.
Right. And I think that's what we did. And that's why just by getting comments from the commission members, just to make sure that everything is addressed. So this way we don't come up next month and say, geez, I forgot and I should have asked this. No, let's address it now. And that's why I keep asking the questions. Let's flush everything out now. So next month we're ready to move forward. Okay. Yeah. But thanks for your comments. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I agree with Steve. I agree with Steve. I think, we should be ready by next meeting and render our decision. So he could either start it now once the ground thaws here, which will be within the next week or two. And if he decides to move forward now or in the fall, I mean, that's his choice. But I think we're ready to go and put this thing to bed here.
Agreed. And I think that's the general consensus of the commission. And that's why I'm trying to drag every possible point out to make sure we can tie this up for next month, not belabor it. So I agree with you, Gino, and I agree with Steve. Thank you. Any other comments for the applicant?
I just have one request for next month. I have one request for next month.
Please
don't change don't change to in-person meetings because I will be participating very possibly from Pinehurst, North Carolina.
We're going to continue these meetings for a long time.
Okay.
Got it. Thanks, Dominic. Okay, then I move we keep the public hearing open until next month. Go ahead, Ray.
Just to recap, so what are the holdup points here that have to be done, just so we're all on the same page? The sidewalk, the plantings, the possible crosswalk, and that's it?
No, and, right. and the topos, the cross section.
Topography. And just basic zoning compliance stuff. It's what we would require of any application. It's just some of it's probably can be addressed, you know, very, very, very easily. Some of it requires a little bit more thought, but and to be honest with you, some of it's probably just some discussions that we have to explore with the applicant a little bit in the next month.
Okay, as long as the applicant's okay with it.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Thanks, Jay.
Very good.
Okay, thanks, Ray. Any other comments from commission members?
Second your motion to continue the public.
Thanks, board. Steve. Is there any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. We'll see you next month, gentlemen. Thanks, Jay.
Good night.
Okay, item number 10A, new business, North Block Holdings, LLC and Dew Drop Inn, 2325 North Avenue, North Avenue special exception application. Since the public hearing has been kept open until next month, there's no action needed. Then there's a natural hazard mitigation plan, informal discussion. Dave Murphy, are you here?
I'm here, yes. Now, seeing that you have a pretty full agenda.
Explain to the commission what you're talking about and where we're going with this.
Yeah, and I do have slides. It's been running about 20 minutes for most of the towns, but if you guys don't have the tolerance for that, I can give a shorter version. So let me know right now what you think is going to work.
Yeah, I think less is best, but go ahead.
All right.
Well, at least explain to them in a summary what this is here for, because yeah, I know I put you off a month or two.
Yeah, no, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just really breeze through the slides that are most important really quickly. Hopefully you guys can make this work for you on your screens. If you're on an iPad or an iPhone, it might not look very good, but hopefully on the computers it will. This is the city's second time participating in a hazard mitigation plan. The first time was back when VCOG existed, so it was about 9 years ago. And so because other towns in the NVCOG region, this is their third time, but for Derby, it's only the second time. We're trying to really bolster engagement and get people involved. We have already met with city staff. I'm just gonna go through really quickly what the hazard mitigation plan is about, since they're already part of one, but it's been 9 years. So an act from 20 years ago, Disaster Mitigation Act, is why communities have hazard mitigation plans. The program is a loss reduction program. So what it aims to do is reduce the costs that all of us, you know, require to pick up the pieces after disaster. Having a plan in place makes Derby eligible for 3 grant programs that are listed in the lower left-hand corner. I won't go through the differences between the different grant programs because we don't want to, you know, drag this out. But suffice to say that having the plan in place will make you eligible for certain grant programs that are pretty well funded from year to year. We're covering natural hazards. You guys know what those are: floods, wildfires, tornadoes. And we're talking about hazard mitigation. So these are actions that can be taken to reduce damage when hazards occur. Here in Connecticut, most initial plans were developed 15 years ago. It was true for Derby 9 years ago when VCOG developed its first plan. What's gonna happen now going forward is, since NVCOG was formed around 2014, 2015, all 19 towns will be part of one plan. Here's a list of all the different communities in NVCOG. Unfortunately, the 4 VCOG towns expired already because VCOG kind of disappeared and couldn't pick up the pieces and put a plan together. They didn't exist. So we are trying to kind of move so that a plan is in place this coming summer so that Derby can apply for grants in the fall if needed. These are the kinds of projects that are funded by the grants. So again, if you have a plan in place, these are the kinds of projects that can be funded. The really notable thing about these graphics, I'll just go to the one for the last fiscal year, is that third category, utility and infrastructure protection, is the one that works best in Connecticut. It's where our towns see the most traction. So it's good to see that it's still on the list of what FEMA will fund. Some of the kinds of projects that can be funded by the grant programs. I'll just go through a few examples here. Home acquisitions in floodplains, drainage projects. This is a good example. A couple of years ago, Brookfield got $1 million for a drainage improvement project they wouldn't have without a hazard mitigation plan. Here's riverbank stabilization. This is in Western Mass, but it's a good example because it's the kind of erosion that a lot of us here in Connecticut can relate to. So we're covering all the same hazards that we did last time when we worked on the plan for VCOG. Here's a list of them on the left-hand side. Again, because we're kind of short on time, I'm not going to talk a lot about what these are. I think everybody on the call knows what a flood, a hurricane, a summer storm, a tornado is. I'll flip through kind of all the cool pictures. And these flood is, you know, ice jams and flash floods, not just riverine floods. Let's see if there's anything else interesting. Don't forget the roofs that collapsed in 2011, dams, wildfires, earthquakes, landslides. This is something that we don't do in most plans, but in the VCOG plan we did, because in the valley towns, it's a risk that is real. We've been going through the plan development process, looking at areas that flood, flood insurance policies, for example. I'm just giving you a taste for what's been done in the last few months. We've been looking at flood insurance in force, repetitive loss properties. I believe there are only a couple in Derby, and they're in McConaughey's Grove, which is where you might expect them to be, across from the Maples area in Shelton. We're looking at his critical facilities, historic resources, and characterizing the losses to all these resources from natural hazards. We're going through all the different standard kinds of hazard mitigation actions, which is the same as the previous plan for Derby. There's six categories. They're right here on the screen. You can see on this next slide, if you take those six categories and apply them to flooding, there's kind of an infinite number of hazard mitigation actions that you can put into a plan. And let me tell you, when we worked on Derby's plan 9 years ago, we put in a lot of actions. I think the Derby section of the plan has about 60 hazard mitigation actions. So we have a lot of the ones you see on the screen, floodproofing or moving buildings from floodplains, they're already in the plan. Here's some other categories applied to flooding. And again, bolstering shelters, making sure that people can evacuate. These are all things that count as loss reduction during natural hazards. What I'm not going to do is go through all the actions in your plan last time. Like I said, there's about 60. If we had a lot of time, we could kind of ruminate on these, but we're not going to do it tonight. I'm going to just let you know that, you know, a lot of these are going to be retired, because what's happened in the past few years is FEMA wants to see very specific actions that can be achieved in the next 5 to 10 years. So we're going to retire some of the stuff that doesn't make sense during a global pandemic, like putting pamphlets out in City Hall, disseminating pamphlets. You know, we're not going to do that stuff anymore going forward. Everything's moving to electronic, the social media. So we're going to retire a lot of these actions. No one really purchases NOAA weather radios anymore. We all use social media and reverse 911, code red, et cetera. So we're going to kind of get rid of a lot of these. Some of the other ones we will carry forward. We've got some actions here for critical facilities. We're working with Derby staff to figure out, you know, which ones have been completed and which ones still need to be completed. So a lot of these are purchasing generators, which is something that is eligible to be funded by these grant programs. Got a lot of actions about floods. This first list is kind of generalized actions. And again, we're going to retire a lot of these. Some of them aren't going to happen. Some of them are happening anyway. If you see the word continue in front of an action, it's coming out of the plan. You already do it. We don't need to say it again. So suffice to say, here's a couple actions that are very specific. These kind of are important to think about. And one of them was completed, actually. Gilbert Street drainage improvements were finished a few years ago, so we can retire that action. It's been completed. There's a couple others we'll have to be mindful of. We've got a few actions on thunderstorms and winter storms. Again, some of those we're going to retire because they're things that are already done, have been completed, but some of them we'll be carrying forward. Earthquakes and landslides, you know, we're going to retire a lot of these for sure. Anything about the state building code, you already do it. We don't need to have it be in the plan. If you don't administer the state building code, then you're in trouble anyway, so you're going to do it. So we're going to retire a few of these.
Dan Blisman, one of the alternates. Can you go back like 5 slides?
Yeah, which one?
There's one that was talking about Two Mile Brook.
Oops, it's not going in backwards. What is the deal?
I mean, if it's a big deal, it doesn't matter. I just noticed that that's on there. That's something that had come across our emails about a month ago.
Let's see. I think it's...
There you go.
Yep.
Right there. Second one down.
Yeah, what had come up lately?
A lot. Well, it's part of it's detention basins are part of our informal discussions later on in the meeting, and that's coming up because when we had one rather large storm, there was flooding. So it's okay. Nice to know that it's on here. I keep that one.
It just caught my eye. It's definitely very relevant.
No, yes. I'm glad you guys are watching, and please do stop me if I'm going fast for a reason. But I'm glad to hear this.
That's fine.
Okay. So we let's see what else is on here. Covered this one. I think I told you. Not going to do much there. Wildfires. A lot of these have been completed. At our meeting that we had a few months ago, there were staff present who knew a lot about these, and a lot of these are getting done. So we're in good shape on those. And then last couple slides. Derby is part of a program, a statewide program called Resilient Connecticut. We are trying hard to dovetail this hazard mitigation plan update with Resilient Connecticut. It's going pretty well because we happen to be the consultant on Resilient Connecticut, which is a happy coincidence. But this project is about looking for areas around transit-oriented development nodes, and Derby has one, and how to make them more resilient to flooding and climate change over time. So some of you have probably heard me say this in the NVCOG meetings where we've had a couple presentations. We really want Derby to participate in this program. We're going to kind of drag you in kicking and screaming if you don't. And we're going to look for a project near the railroad station that can make it more resilient going forward. Kind of our model for the kind of project we're looking at is this next slide, which is Freight Street in Waterbury. So it's a TOD area, and there's a lot of plans in place to kind of redevelop it, but at the same time adding green space and making sure that it doesn't flood. It's next to the river. So that's kind of a good model for what we're talking about. So stay tuned on that. And finally, we do still have a survey that's open, so you can all take the survey. If you don't want to do that. We have a story map you can look at. The story map is organized by hazards, and it kind of tells you all about this project. And NVCOG has a whole webpage on their website dedicated to the hazard mitigation plan update. That's kind of your portal. If you do not want to remember anything from this slide that's up right now, just remember to go to the NVCOG website, go to hazard mitigation plan, and you can find everything there. So that's it. And I hope I didn't go too fast. Hopefully you guys got something out of that.
Nope. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Sorry to put you off for so long. It was a little little hectic the last few months.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions on the plan? Since we looked at it briefly, you can always go to the website and you can bring up questions later.
Hey Ted, I would be curious, Danny brought up a good point. There's a couple other items on that list. Who's responsible for going after those grants, Dave? How does that work?
Yep, every city and town can elect on their own who the local coordinator is. Sometimes it's emergency management, sometimes it's planning. I guess it could be Ryan McAvoy. Hopefully he's not listening to me.
He needs more to do. He's been bored last
year. He doesn't have enough to do.
Yeah.
You can choose any department, really.
So do we, Carmen, Andrew, do we know who's coordinating those grants here in Derby?
We have been working with OEM on this, and right now it's Mark Neuendorf. We're also lucky enough to have Tom Leonard, who's retired from the state, who has taken over some responsibility with our COVID long-term plan. So as we're having this conversation, Tom doesn't know, but we're probably going to elect him to do that. So
yeah, there's a few topics there that are near and dear to a few of us members.
Thanks, Drew.
Welcome.
Any other comments from commission members for Dave? Okay, if you do have anything comes up afterwards and you take a look at the site, feel free to reach out to David. He's always around. And thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the next item, 10C, City of Derville, parcel 8-5202A, seeking a CGS 824 referral to lease municipal property, parcel 8-5202A, for the purpose of construction staging to Mohawk Northeast Inc. in connection with the Derby Shelton Bridge renovation project. So there's somebody here that wants to talk about this to the commission. John?
I certainly can. Drew is here as well. Drew, has a map been circulated or should I do a screen share?
Screen share, please.
Okay, hold on. And while I get this map up, Drew, if you want to go ahead and just talk a little bit about the Derby Shelton Bridge project and how this is going to assist with that.
Sure.
I'm just having some lag with my PDF opening up for some reason, of course.
Sure. So as you're all aware, the Derby Shelton Bridge project has been awarded. It's been awarded to a company called Mohawk Northeast. That is going to include mostly aesthetic improvements, but some structural improvements, and certainly improvements to the deck of the bridge, including but not limited to adding a cycle track and increased walkways and a better traffic flow, especially into Derby from Shelton. In conjunction with that, the company who was awarded the bid, Mohawk, has asked the City of Derby to consider different spaces for construction staging. This parcel is the ideal one based on the fact that the Route 34 project is slated to begin, some of our other redevelopment efforts and everything else. So if John can pull up the map, it's essentially going to be the parcel. There you go. And if you look at that circle on the bottom right, that's where the existing cinder lot is, to the west of Caroline Street. And then they would do a temporary access road along the levee, but outside of the easement area of the levee, going directly to the First Street parking lot and subsequently to the Derby Shelton Bridge. The Corp Council, John, has worked on an actual access agreement that will go to the Board of Aldermen, hopefully with your positive referral, to give the city all sorts of protections as it relates to environmental contamination, any damages to the property, et cetera, et cetera. But essentially, we'd be looking for your blessing to say, yes, this is a good use of this property for this purpose. And really, at the end of the day, we don't really know where else they're going to go. This is probably the only spot, certainly in Derby. And as we all know, Shelton will be built out on that side. So lucky that. But John, if there's anything else you want to give,
Sure no refresher is needed. But of course, Connecticut General Statutes 8-24 requires that we push this by the P&Z for a recommendation. If the city is going to be leasing out or making use of city property. And here the idea, of course, is essentially a lease to allow the construction to occur. The lease is going to be pursuant to an access agreement that will define how the property is going to be used. It's going to set forth safeguards to ensure that it's not going to be misused. And that, of course, the city is going to get it back in one piece, better, or at least the same as it was found. The alderman will be taking a look at measures to put in place to ensure that occurs and to ensure, of course, that all the activity is insured and that appropriate insurance certificates are in place. Importantly, this would be essentially almost a month-to-month lease. So if the city did need the property for another purpose, it could easily get out of the agreement and shift the resource to another use. Who knows, opportunity for development or something else comes along. We don't want the city to be in a position where all of a sudden it's obligated to wait to the end of the construction. So knowing that safeguards are being negotiated and put in place, what we're looking for is essentially the P&Z to give a positive recommendation that a lease, an extension of a temporary access agreement to the Mohawk Construction Company would be recommended. And I should clarify, this is entirely temporary. This is not meant to go beyond the construction of the Derby Shelton Bridge. This is in no way a permanent maintenance agreement or a permanent easement of any sort. This is simply to allow access to the construction area and a staging site. And of course, the aldermen are very cognizant of making sure that this activity does not hurt the Derby taxpayers or residents and doesn't cause us, the city, to have to spend money in any way to either deal with construction or to have to put the site back together again. I'd also say we're going to be reserving the right to go onto the site and to make inspections so that if there's any question from this board or anyone else in the city as to how the property is being used, there will be absolutely no issue with respect to going onto the property and inspecting it ourselves firsthand.
John, and just correct me if I'm wrong, in CGS 8-24, the referral, a positive or negative referral is pretty much you're looking at the Planning and Zoning Commission to put our planning hats on that we don't have anything earmarked for that property now if you go ahead and lease it to somebody month-to-month staging it. As a matter of all the precautions, that's the job of the legislative body, the Board of Aldermen, not the job of the Planning and Zoning Commission, correct?
Exactly. The legislative body can define the terms, but essentially, you know, is this property appropriate for this use? Right. Would this be a use that the Planning and Zoning Board would give a positive approval? Okay.
All right. Thanks, John. Any comments from any commission members?
Mr. Chairman, I recommend we move this along as quickly as possible. It's the most activity we've been seeing.
Ray, I'll send the letter out tonight.
Yeah, it's just a construction state, typical.
Absolutely. I just wanted to make sure, you know, we stay in our lane, so to speak. Okay. If that's all they're looking for is a referral that we don't have any plans for this. Okay. No problem. As far as protection of the city, the lease, et cetera, that's the job of the Board of Alderpersons, not our job. And I just wanted to clarify that for the members, just to understand that what our role was. Gino, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, could you hear me?
Yep.
Being in the business myself, it's, basically a typical thing that they're asking for. It's just a temporary staging area for equipment, materials, while the construction is going on. So I'm in favor of it myself.
Okay, thanks, Gino. Any other comments from any commission members?
What's their start date?
John? Andrew? Does somebody know when they're looking to start?
Potentially April 1, but they're still determining that might be a little after that, but very, very soon.
Great. Fabulous. Then I move that we send a positive referral on 8-24 referral. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
What's the time frame that they would like to use this lot?
The construction at this point is slated to be approximately 36 months.
So that's like 3 years. Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
What John just stated was it's a month-to-month lease. If we if there's development or if we have an opportunity to use it for something else, we could basically tell them it's month-to-month and you guys got to put it back the way it was and move on. I'm sorry. Right?
It's in fact, I would actually say, you know, the term on the table is less than a month. So okay. Something comes along and we need quick action so we don't lose a developer, let's say. We can simply say, hey, 15 days notice, you do need to be off the site and you need to put it back together in the way you found it, period.
Thanks, John.
This is a great thing. It's great development. I think the city wants to facilitate this project. But at the same time, we don't want to lock ourselves into a situation where we have to miss another opportunity specifically for Derby.
Dave, that satisfy your question?
36 months max, right?
Okay. All right. I'll say it again. I move that we send a positive approval on CGS 824 to the Board of Aldermen for leasing the site as a construction staging to Mohawk Northeast Inc. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Made and seconded, Ray. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks, John. I'll send you something in writing to take to the board.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to 11, Old Business, A&D Custom Apparel LLC, 1 Park Avenue, site plan approval application to use as an office and to ship clothing apparel, discussion and possible action. Ryan, I think this person asked to be put on the agenda and never showed up.
That's correct. So, Mr. Chairman, I didn't want to leave an open-ended application. I would recommend the commission deny without prejudice.
Okay. I move that we deny the application without prejudice.
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Item number 11B, CEO update and formal discussion. Carmen, Drew, you want to discuss that at all? Talk about it?
Sure, we can.
To change from last month?
Not really. Other than the fact that we've marketed the position and we do have some applications.
Okay.
Some more qualified than others. I think the job market's pretty rough out there. So got folks with no experience, no qualifications, no everything, putting in applications for our finance director role, let alone this role, which is a little more open-ended. So we're shepherding through that. We're also trying to market it a little bit more widely and through different sources at the moment. Okay. But I can tell you that Bethany is very anxious to get this filled, as are we. So we are pushing it out through various channels, and the town clerk has really been spearheading that effort to further market the position.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Time frame?
Roughly. Now, I hope tomorrow we find somebody qualified and we hire them.
Got it. We'll
bring it to this commission for consideration and hopefully have some input from you folks.
Okay.
Would that be something, Mr. Chairman, that in order to facilitate the hire, I mean, because we have 5 weeks till the next meeting, would a special meeting be entertained?
Absolutely.
Okay.
To get a CEO? I'll have 5 meetings. I don't care. We'll get through the interview process to hire somebody. I could care. I'll make myself available.
Perfect. Good to know. Thank you, guys. Appreciate everybody's willingness to participate in the process.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 11C, application process, informal discussion. We discussed about this last month about where the applications come into and how they get disseminated and posted and published. And I think the process we have works for now. I don't think it's anything we could change. Hopefully when we get a CEO and a building inspector in place, then we can address any shortcomings we have. But it seems to be working at this point. Everything flows through the building department into the town clerk and gets put onto the website. And Ryan's also heavily involved in that to make sure that everything gets published and documented and put on the website for everybody's view. So I just want to leave it on there so we can discuss it until we get quality people in those positions.
And just so you guys know, in the interim, what I've been doing is Lisa Norowski, who's a secretary in the building office, she refers people to me when they have questions about application requirements, procedures, whether or not certain things require applications. Sometimes Drew chips in on that as well. So phone calls are not being ignored. Questions are not being answered. It's just a little more challenging without a staff person in that office. As Dominic mentioned earlier, there were some items that he had emailed to the city that didn't make it on the website. So we'll double our efforts to make sure that that gets done. But we're trying our best with the limited staff in place at the moment.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate you pitching in. Thank you. Okay, item number 11D, PDD subcommittee informal discussion. Anything to bring to the applicant yet? Or the full commission? Sure, you guys are still in informal discussion?
Not yet. So we've supplied the subcommittee with varying different PDD regulations in different municipalities in the region and in Connecticut in general. And we've gotten some positive feedback from the members of the subcommittee in terms of what elements they want and the decision criteria for what might make a PDD zone eligible, a property eligible for a PDD. And we're going to hope to schedule another subcommittee meeting in the interim prior to next month's meeting so that we have a little bit more to share with the commission 5 weeks from today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ryan. Item number 11E, status of detention basins, informal discussion. I did see that one of our members brought up about Tuma Brook detention basins. I'd like to see if we can get some monies there to clean up what we need for something that might be in the public right away or that the city owns. But I just want to keep that on there because I know a letter was sent to everybody who Two Mile Brook ran through to just let them know and alert them that it was their responsibility to make sure it stays clean. I just want to know if a follow-up letter has been done yet, or are there any plans on making inspections to keep this moving forward? Because I don't want to just say we sent a letter and then forget about it. I think it's something we need to address moving forward so that our it's part of our waterways, it stays clear. And I'll bring up a point that we saw a kind of a part of Two Mile Brook running through the Lowe's Burger King shopping center. It was sinking, and they found that through inspections that it was deteriorating, and the landlord jumped on. It took him quite a bit of time going before Army Corps of Engineers to get approval to fix it, and he did fix it. So he did something proactive, and I just wish that we can get everybody else in that water course way as proactive as he was. So hopefully, I know some of the detention basins fall into that category. I'd like to know what the city's plan is to address these people above just sending a letter.
If I may add, Ted?
Sure, Carmen.
Okay, so I sent a letter out back in the fall to all the abutters of the Two Mile Brook, asking the, just reminding them that they are responsible for the maintenance of the brooks. And also, I will be, this is gonna be our first thing with the new CEO to handle this. Now, the other thing that I'm very upset about is the situation with the detention ponds. We have one detention pond that's right up above the area that flooded on Sodom Lane. And it seems like the lady who owns the property there, or who is in charge of, will not let city staff onto her property. So I asked council to look into how, in fact, do we get on that property to check the, because if we're if the city is responsible for checking the detention pond to make sure it is maintained properly, but she won't let us on the property, how are we supposed to check it?
Agreed, and that's one of the reasons why we're keeping it on the agenda, because, you know, rather than sending a letter, we'd like to see some action taken to the people who are, because it's my understanding that in all these detention basins that are formed, even though they're by an association, should they falter, it reverts back to the city to maintain. So if that is a possibility and that could happen, then there has to be some assurance that we can get on the property to check these detention basins to see if they are faltering. If we're going to take them over, we don't want them when they're all grown in and they're just passing water through. And that's part of the problem. There is no checklist. There is no call to action by any group to say, okay, if you can't get on there and we have to do this, what are the next steps? If we have to do it, I understand that we can do it, our services or whatever service or company we get to do it, there's a charge back. Well, who's taking that charge to do that? And I understand we're waiting for our next CEO, Carmen, to come in, and that'd be a great program for him to administer. But I just don't know when that's going to happen. I'm told it might happen quickly, but I don't know when it's going to happen, and I don't want it to falter.
Carmen, this is Gino DiGiovanni.
Hi, Gino.
The basin that you're talking about, is that the one off of O'Sullivan up there?
Yes.
The one that's all fenced in and
yes
and whatnot? So yeah. last week I went up there, and the gentleman that lives to the right, he was out in the yard. I think he works for either Xfinity or Frontier. So I walked down to the fence line because he was in his yard. So I asked him. He said no problem. But first of all, why is that number one fenced in, and then number two, there's like an access gate at the end of that dead end road, and then there's, if you look across that detention pond, there's like benches and you know, places like you could sit. Is that owned privately, or
it is?
It's privately owned.
It's privately owned.
Oh, okay, because that when I walked down to the fence line there, it's, you know, there's some high grass. I mean, it's really grown in there. Doesn't look like anything that's been maintained in a very long time, in my opinion.
Well, so, I can tell you that there are other basins in town that are far more overgrown than that one, as an example. They're just not as visible because they've fully grown in. Right. For example, Ginetti Drive. There's one back there that I inspected with Carlo Sarmiento and noted the tremendous amount of vegetation's grown into the point where you have to know that it's there to be looking for it.
That flow into the top of where the condos are there? What is that, Derbyshire?
Yeah, it all drains down in the same location we're talking about.
Drains
down,
right. Okay.
So there's a handful of stormwater basins in that area that are privately owned by homeowners associations or by private individuals. And I think last month was a little tricky because there was about a foot and a half of snow and frost everywhere. But as part of this, some research has to be done in terms of what rights the city has to go onto these properties to begin with. And second of all, what responsibility the city has to take to inspect and provide recommendations for removal or repairs. And I believe, you know, we're certainly capable of providing that assistance to the city. I just don't want to be in a position where we're going into private property and being harassed by property owners either. So I think the way we left off last month is probably where we are at the moment, and that there needs to be more research done in terms of the rights the city has. And then if Drew and the mayor authorize us to go out and do those inspections, we can certainly perform them.
John, let me ask you a question. Is this something, since there's a legal question that appears to me that came up that could come out of a council, that we have the right or do not have the right to go on to this property to inspect them? Because if you're telling us in a letter that we do have the right, then our next thing will be to instruct our city engineer to work with the city to go on and do all these inspections, because they're well qualified to do that.
So this is certainly something I could look into, that I could research and get a decision to this board on. I think that it's a really important question to have answered, because if the city has a liability or an obligation, but is being prevented from getting onto property, then I think we need to figure out what the appropriate mechanism is. In certain situations, the answer could be a warrant. However, usually that pertains to, you know, a property owner that is violating a regulation. Here it may be a little more nuanced, but it certainly seems that the city should have an ability to maintain what it's responsible for. And often you'll see municipal governments or the state have an easement for the purpose of maintenance, you know, and not
have a
property owner for use of the property. Being able to maintain. So exactly what's going on here, I think we do need to research a little bit. So it's something I could look into, and I want to figure out exactly, you know, what is the extent of the situation here in the city. And then based on that, we could talk about what the mechanism is going to be for moving forward. Because I would certainly agree, if we have an obligation to maintain, but no ability to get access, there's a problem. You know, something is wrong. So let's figure out what the options are and how we can solve the problem.
Dave, you had something to say before?
Yeah, I believe the city does have an easement onto both of those properties. Ted, you were on the Planning and Zoning Commission when both of the subdivisions associated with those two detention basins was approved.
And I pay into one of them. We all do. Well, you used to too. Yes, Basin Inc. was taken over the management by Kathy Norwood, who lives at the bottom of O'Sullivan. Gina, what you were talking about, and I believe our easement runs through that gated area, so we can walk up to the gated area and inspect the pond. But if we're going to be chased out, you know, maybe something simple like John says, we have an easement, we're allowed to do this, but if we're going to get chased out and harassed, maybe a police escort is the way to do it. You know, something as simple as that, so we can go do the inspection and perform the inspection. I agree, Dave. But that's, you know, I appreciate Carmen taking the bull by the horns and sending the letters out and letting the people know that they're responsible, kind of a warning. But I think now we have to go to the next step. Okay, now that everybody's been warned that they're responsible for it, now that the thaw came and 6 months later, we're coming to check all these things out. And they can't say, well, I didn't know. yeah, we told you back in the fall and you chose not to do anything. So we're going to inspect everything. And
Mr.
And
Chairman, if it makes complete sense that an easement would have been reserved on these properties.
Right.
So if it's the case that in fact it has been, it is simply a matter, we can fast forward to that solution then. It's right. Simply a matter of getting the police department in touch, putting them together with the easement, right? Allowing them right. to understand the city has the ability to maintain, to access, to maintain, and then going onto the property. Right. And that is a it'll be simple. You know, if we already have the easement, you know, we have the answer, we're ready to go. So maybe Carmen, okay. what we can do is we can look at that. And if we can get documentation on the easements that will be, of course, recorded on the land records, we can ensure that we get appropriate access to inspect.
Protection for Ryan. Yes, Gino.
I got a question for Carmen. When you sent those letters out, did anybody respond to you saying that as soon as, you know, springtime comes, we're going to take a look and fix whatever is necessary or maintain or? Was yes. there any responses from anybody or?
Yes, we had one commercial tenant respond, DLC. Those are people that own the Big Y area. So yep. they're going to be touching most of the 2 Mile Brook that then goes into the Edge Fitness property.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Ray.
Apparently nobody has the answers on all this right now. So why don't we just get Carmen to work with the attorney and research this and the properties in question and get the proper recipe to get this stuff taken care of. Come back to us next month. But until we Agreed. Get the questions answered.
That's one of the reasons why we brought all these questions up, because as Attorney Marini stated, if it's as simple as we have access already, he said he was going to research it with Carmen. And if we do have access, you know, it might be as simple. We have the answer right there and we can get it done.
Exactly.
There's no need to belabor this. Yeah.
Well,
I think the more important question too, is on many of these basins is if issues are found, and I'm sure there will be on to some degree or another on some of these, who's responsible for who's going to take the ball and run with it in terms of doing the work?
Ryan, if we find out there's issues basin by basin, then we're taking it to the next step. Then yeah. it can come back before this commission and we say, okay, yep. you could come back and say, we inspected this basin. This is the amount of work it needs to bring it up to standards. And then we can make the decision how that's going to be done. Then we can say, okay, we got something hard and fast. This is the problem. This is the solution. Who's going to pay? If they're not going to fix it or address it, then we're going to do it and we're going to bill them back. There's various ways to do that. Okay, but we have to get there, Ryan. We have to get there first. We're not there, as Ray said. Now we have some semblance of how we get to a solution once we start performing. I'd be so happy if we could perform the inspections. Okay, because then we can move this thing forward.
Right. I just want to make it clear that
stuff.
Yeah, that the actual work involved is the critical element, not the.
That's okay. Right. If we can get there, I'll be happy.
Yep.
It shouldn't be, Mr. Chairman. It shouldn't be too hard. Determine what the scope of work will be, because right. these detention basins were already designed and built.
They were designed and built, like you said, Dave, for obvious, for some reasons, they haven't been maintained for 10 or 20 years, so they're overgrown.
I don't want to get into a situation where we're trying to reinvent the wheel on this. There's already designs in place for these detention basins. It's a matter of making sure they get implemented.
Performing the inspections and making sure that they are implemented so they operate the way they were designed to operate. If Correct. There's some shortcomings, how are we going to address them? That's I'd right. love to get there.
Yeah, we will.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Carmen.
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 11F, Jacob's update, informal. I know, is there someone from the city who can talk about the Jacob's property? Because it's right in the smack dab in the middle of the south side of Main Street development zone. And we've been pushing to get that removed in some way, shape, or form for months now.
We're going to we're going to defer to council on that one. John's been intimately involved with that. So,
yep. So the city's been carving out a path towards acquiring the property. Right now, I'd say we're just still running it through legal to make sure we understand, you know, all the possible avenues and opportunities here. We wanted to, number one, make sure that we had done everything that could be done to explore the possibility of a of essentially a voluntary sale between the city and the property owner. If that is ruled out, the city is interested in exploring the use of eminent domain.
Okay.
I'd say, you know, the city's simply exploring all legal avenues. We want to make sure we give the property owner every opportunity to sell at fair market value. A property owner represented through council has certainly been making efforts to work with the city in terms of providing information. And that's certainly something that the Board of Aldermen, you know, may be circling back on this month.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, John. Okay, item number 12, payment of bills. I move that we pay bills if deemed correct. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second it.
Second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn. Thank you, gentlemen. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
8:40 p.m.